Good evening anyway. It's awesome to be here. Tonight we are kicking off a new series here in Kalanga. We're going to be looking at faith and grace. These are words which we do use fairly regularly, but let's just go on. It's on, there we go. Cool. So the words we use fairly regularly, but we're going to be looking at them a little bit more, seeing how God is going to be a need for us, not just maybe for the first time, but a continued need in our lives, and how faith and grace is so integral to a life lived well in the service to God, which we believe is the best sort of life we could live. So are we going to pray, then we're going to look at God's word, and then we'll spend a bit of time talking about it. So would you join me as we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you we can be here tonight. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to meet here in Kalanga. Lord, this is a place which for me is very special, but for many of us, it may not be home, but we are here because we love you and because you have brought us together here. Please help us as we look at your word together tonight to be encouraged by what we read here, to be challenged by it, and help us, Lord, to respond in ways which are appropriate in the way which you would have us respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look tonight at Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. This is a story that takes place in the house of a Pharisee and also includes something of a parable in there. So we're going to read that together. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time that I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight in this first sermon in this series on grace and faith. And the title of the sermon tonight is The Debt Forgiven. And when we look at the Bible, one of the things which is really amazing is that we heard this a little bit this morning at Everton Park, if you were there, is that the Bible tells us about the grace of God. It tells us that we are saved, that we have deliverance by God's grace, and God's has given us by his grace faith as a free gift. And once God has given us this grace, once he has given us the gift of faith, the Bible tells us that we are assured of our eternal well-being. But sometimes we do have doubts. Sometimes we might wonder whether we can ever actually be right with God. Those of us who are here who are Christians, we believe that God is perfect and that God cannot stand the sight of sin. And if you're like me, you might realize pretty quickly that there's times in our lives where we do sin, where we commit wrongs against God. And the questions come up, how could we ever be made right with God? How could we ever have confidence that we are right with God for a day, for half a day, for an hour, let alone all of eternity like the Bible tells us? Well, tonight's passage begins to answer that question and will hopefully help us see why we should want the grace of God in our lives and why we should value faith in God as the most valuable thing that we could ever have. The part of the Bible we're looking at tonight is from Luke, which is the third book of the New Testament. And it's set in the house, the part we're looking at tonight, set in the house of a Pharisee called Simon. Now, when you read or hear the word Pharisee, you might think of somebody who's just a stickler for rules, someone who likes to make new rules and to tell you whenever you've broken the rules that are already in place, whether you knew about it or not. Maybe in today's day and age, I'm sorry to any lawyers here tonight, we might think of them as lawyers, but just hyper lawyers, just insane people who only care about legalism, just telling you exactly what's right and wrong. You do something wrong, you're going to get slammed for it. The story tonight is set in the house of one of these people, one of these men called a Pharisee. Again, his name was Simon. Now, when we read through this story tonight, what the Bible tells us, we pick up on a few things here. We first see that Jesus was fairly popular and a fairly famous person at the time. And we pick up on that when we read in our Bible that a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the house of the Pharisee, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Hey, Jesus was well known. Jesus was a well-known figure at the time. People were curious about what Jesus was saying, about what Jesus was doing. And this woman was one of those people. But we see when this woman comes to Jesus, there's more than just curiosity going on here. There's a need that this lady has become aware of. When we see this lady in the passage, she is standing behind Jesus weeping, and she washes Jesus' feet. This is a lady who knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she had continually done the wrong thing. And while we don't know what she's thinking, the weight of emotions in this passage seems to indicate that she's hit all at once with the reality of how terrible she is in the eyes of God. She's been living in opposition to God. So she comes to Jesus, who she may or may not have realized yet was God in human flesh. And she served him by pouring out this ointment, this really, really expensive oil on his feet, and using her hair, which in those times was a woman's glory, to wipe the feet of Jesus. Now, I thought that photo was fairly okay for tonight. A fella wearing sandals, that's from a mission trip we went on. Now, if you look at that, that's fairly disgusting. We've just removed a bog truck from a bog. That guy needed a bit of a foot washing. You don't want to do that job. Foot washing was a job reserved for the newest servant in a household. It was the lowest job in the household. They had dusty roads. There was all sorts of dung on the road. It wasn't a pleasant job. But this woman who wasn't even a slave in this household comes before Jesus and she washes his dirty feet with her hair, with her glory. The financial cost of the lady doing this is big. What that oil cost was massive. The fact that she uses her hair, socially, there's a cost here. But culturally, religiously, how dare this lady who is a sinner come before Jesus? How dare this lady who is a sinner touch this good man? How dare this lady risk contaminating Jesus with her sin? These are the thoughts that are going through the host Simon's mind. Simon says to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet," talking about Jesus, "would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." She is not worthy to be there. She is not worthy to be close to Jesus. She is not worthy to touch Jesus. This Simon, he doesn't care about what this lady has spent to come before Jesus and do this, these beautiful acts of service. Emotionally, she's leaving nothing on the line. She's in tears. Financially, she's probably spent the only thing that she would have as a dowry for a future marriage and security on Jesus. Socially, she's used her hair, her glory, to wash the feet of Jesus. She is holding nothing in reserve, but all Simon can think of is this lady is a sinner who does not belong here. Many teachers at the time would leave it there. Many teachers going around teaching of God, just as Jesus was doing, would leave it there and have no problem with what Simon was saying. But Jesus knows what's going on in his heart and he shares a parable. A parable is, we might think of them as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Last week, when Rick preached over at Everton Park, he said that they use the stories to conceal truth from those who don't yet know God, but to reveal truth to those who do know God. And this parable, it relates to what's happening in Simon's house. There's two people with debts. One was a crushing debt. One was 500 denarii. The other was a more bearable debt, but still a debt that was owed. Somebody was due something from both of the people in this story. Now, you'd expect to see toil. You'd expect to see them work through the process of paying off these debts. When we look at what we see here tonight, the creditor, the one who lent money to both of these people, when they had nothing with which to repay their debts, freely forgave them both. He just cancelled their debts. And Jesus asks, who's going to be more thankful? The one who owed 50 or the one who owed 500? Simon replies to Jesus, I suppose the one who has a bigger debt is going to be more thankful. The one who owes a bigger debt will love more as a result of this debt being cleared. And he's right. He is absolutely right. Now imagine, if you will, and for me as a renter, I have to imagine this. You have a mortgage. You've been paying off your mortgage. You've been trying to pay it off, but you reach a point where you cannot make your repayments. And you get this lovely letter from the bank, which actually turns out to be a lovely letter from the bank. The manager said, I've looked at your situation. I've looked at your repayments. I've seen how hard you've worked to pay it off. We're not worrying about the effort you put into it. I'm just cancelling it. Don't worry about it. It's gone. The mortgage is gone. The house, it's all yours. Now, you'd be thrilled. And obviously, the bigger that mortgage was, the more thrilled that you'd be. Plugging this parable right back into the dinner conversation, which was probably fairly awkward at this stage, Jesus says to Simon, he's got the right answer. But within this parable, there is a blow for Simon's pride. So I should have put these verses in there. But if you've got your Bibles, look at verses 44 to 47. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, saying to Simon, Simon's in the firing line of what Jesus says here. Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Now, Jesus doesn't pretend that this woman has done nothing wrong. Jesus doesn't pretend that there was no debt here. Jesus acknowledges that she did have many sins. She had committed many sins. But they are all forgiven. The debt was cancelled. She had clearly felt the weight of her sin. The debtor in the parable, who owed a lot, that person is a woman. This sinner who has come before Jesus, this sinful woman who would dare to come and touch the teacher of God's word, this woman who was doing absolutely nothing to give herself any relief from the debt that she had to God. She felt the weight of her sin. Her guilt seems to have overcome her. And she knew that Jesus was good. That's why she was there that night. She'd heard that Jesus was going to be there. She knew that Jesus was a teacher. She knew that Jesus had done miracles. It was common knowledge at the time. So she goes to this house where this amazing person is going to be. And she left nothing in reserve. What would normally cause public humiliation to herself, she was willing to do, because she had nothing left. In the parable, the story that Jesus told, there's a line in there which is really important. Sorry, that photo wasn't meant to go there. Skip that one. The line in the parable that's really important, and when they had nothing with which to repay, and they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. That is absolutely mind-blowing. We know this woman had nothing left. She could not pay her debt, but it was forgiven. As we see soon, all the things that she's put in line, it wasn't wasted bearing her soul to Jesus because it was in faith. It's done out of faith. For some of us right now, maybe we're in the same boat. Maybe we feel like our lives are spiraling and that we just need help. Maybe you feel like you're coming here tonight with nothing left to give. You have nothing in the tank. But we're here tonight seeing the words of Jesus. In God's word tonight, we are seeing Jesus. We are listening to the one who can forgive sins. His words are recorded for us right here. But has it all been for nothing coming here? We'll see the answer soon. But the second person in the parable, from what Jesus says, the man who owes 50 denarii, the smaller debt, but still a debt, seems to be Simon. And Jesus wants Simon to understand that even he has a debt. He seems to have it all together. He knows the law. He knows the words that God has spoken to Israel in the Old Testament. He's probably memorized the Old Testament. He's got a house, he's got servants, his head is full of knowledge of God, but he's still lacking. Simon fails to live up to the way that God would have us to live. Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Based on what we see of Simon in this parable tonight, and what we see of his actions in this passage tonight, he seems to love his own image more than he loves God. He wants to look good. And that covers over the fact that he misses the second command too. Socially, what the woman did was wrong. But he doesn't show any love for her whatsoever. His neighbor, this lady, receives no love from Simon in this story. He mutters about how bad she is. He mutters about how she has no right to come before Jesus. She doesn't belong in Simon's house. What is she doing here? But in this, we see that he too is in debt to God. He has broken God's rules for life, and he's been found to be owing. He's a little bit like this plant. I think I took this photo when Ryan and Corinne came to visit us at the Arboretum down in Canberra. Now, I don't typically look at bonsais, but that looks nice. It looks good. This guy's made himself look good. It looks like the sort of plant that you might want to get and put in your garden. Look after it, to love it, to see the beauty of that plant. What you probably can't see, the tag underneath it tells you that that's lantana. That looks nice. That looks good. But it's a weed. All looks good. But the truth is that that's not what you want in your garden. For some of us tonight, we may be a little bit like Simon. We may feel like everything is going well. We may think that because we're not thieves or because we're not murderers or because we're not given to larceny, that we're all good. But there is no debt. There is nothing between us and God. That we don't owe God anything. Maybe even that we don't even need God. But the parable has a message for all of us, just like it did for Simon, just like it did for the lady. That before God, every single person is a debtor. When we consider Jesus' two greatest commandments, we realize that we cannot be found free from debt. We realize that we are all sinners before God. Now that debt might seem like it's a crushing weight. That debt may seem so significant, or maybe rather it seems so insignificant that we don't even take the time to think about it. But in both cases of debt, which Jesus points us to again, that every single person is in debt to God because of the sins we commit, and we're in a situation where we cannot pay it off ourselves. Every single one of us we need a creditor who will say to us, in our inability to pay off the debt, whether it's big or small, that our sins have been forgiven. Now, there's so many things we can turn to to pretend that's not the case. Maybe in despair we look to things that are going to cover up big holes in our lives. Maybe to look as if we've got this. We try to be those good people that we're meant to be, that the society tells us that we should be. Whatever it is, without God, it is hopeless. But with God, there's an incredible grace on display. Jesus says to this lady, "Your sins are forgiven." Those are the words that we should be craving more than anything else. Because there, in Jesus, in coming to Jesus, in faith, just like this lady, our guilt is covered over by the grace of God. And when the grace of God covers over our guilt, and God works in us to bring about a gratitude, a love for what He has done for us. We've come to Jesus tonight in hearing His word. We've heard of His grace. Have we come in faith like the lady did? Recognizing our guilt, realizing the complete grace of God to wipe out our debt and then to live in gratitude to Him. Our hope, our prayer, if you've not yet done this, is that you will. And if God has brought you to this point, maybe tonight, maybe previously, our hope and prayer is that we don't take His grace for granted. His grace was not cheap. It cost us nothing, but His grace cost Jesus His life on the cross. God's grace to cover over our sins, to cover over all of our guilt, to pay the price for us, to clear our debt, should result in gratitude to God from each and every one of us. Gratitude that He would save people like you and me. Gratitude that when we could do absolutely nothing, He paid the price for us. Gratitude for the faith that He gives to everyone that He calls to Himself so that we can live debt-free, free from the burden of sin, forever with Him in glory. This term, that's what we're looking at. God's grace and the gift of faith that He's given to us, the things that make life tick well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for what You reveal to us about Yourself in it. We pray that each one of us will turn to You continually, that we'll continually place ourselves under Your grace because none of us can pay our debts. We thank You that You have made the payment for us, that the debt we owed, which was so big, has been fully cleared by You. Help us to live in gratitude to You and help us to trust You in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.